doing this morning, church family? Are you happy to be in the house of the Lord today? Amen. Amen. Well, I don't know if you noticed, but I have some unbelievably amazing boys and girls standing right up here on the stage with us this morning. These are our first graders, and today they are receiving their very own first grade Bible. Let's welcome them this morning. Wow. What a beautiful picture from one end of this platform to the other. The next generation coming to follow Jesus. Aren't you glad to see that this morning? What a joy. What a joy. Well, boys and girls, it is our honor to be able to stand with you today. And I just want you to know that that Bible that you're holding, it's so very special. You know what I love about this Bible is it says it's the Following Jesus Bible. Isn't that good? And boys and girls, that's exactly what we want to do. We want to follow Jesus. There's a verse in your Bible, boys and girls, that you're holding. Psalm 119, 105. It says, your word will be a lamp to my feet, and it will be a light to my path. And that's exactly what God's done. He's given us his Bible for us to be a lamp to our feet. That means, boys and girls, God's Bible can teach us how we are to walk with God. God's Bible is full of instruction to teach us and to show us how we can follow Jesus in every part of our life. So you want to read your Bible every day. But you know what else, first grade boys and girls? Not only does that Bible teach you what to do and how to live for Jesus, but it's going to show you where to go. It's a lamp to your feet, but it's a light to your path. And when you follow Jesus, boys and girls, and he lives in your heart and you live for him, you're going to want to read that Bible every day. And it's going to instruct you, it's going to teach you, and it's going to show you where to go. So first graders, I want you to do something right now for our church family. Every first grade boy and girl on this platform, I want to take that Bible and I want you to hold it up real high. Hold it up real high. Hold it up real high. And if it's your commitment to read God's word every day and to live by it, boys and girls, I want you to say a big yes. Ready? One, two, three. Yeah. Isn't that a sweet sound, church family? Put those Bibles down, boys and girls. Now, church family, as these little precious ones, you can go ahead and put those Bibles down, first graders. I love it. I love it. Now, church family, as these precious boys and girls have held their Bibles up in the air to say, I'm going to live for Jesus and I'm going to learn his word, I can't help but think about what a challenge that is for all of us. You know, we see these boys and girls, and there's such a purity and an innocence and a sweetness to following Jesus as a child, to being in his word. And you know, as we grow up a little bit, life gets a little crazy, doesn't it? But you know that verse, that God's word can be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path? You know, that's just as true for you today as it is for them at their tender age of first grade. And I just want their encouragement, I want their testimony, I want their joy to hold God's word, to inspire every one of us to bring our Bibles and to hide it in our hearts every day as we study God's word. And church family, as they've committed to follow and love Jesus and to read his word, I want to invite you right now to make a commitment to them that over the coming days and months and years that you will commit to pray for them, that you will commit to walk alongside of them. Some of you, God's calling you up and God calling you out to come and serve them in our next gen ministries, in our life group Bible studies. Somebody down the road is going to be sitting at a table on a Sunday morning with these little first graders when they become middle schoolers and high schoolers, and they're going to need godly men and women, people of faith, to sit with them every weekend and help them learn what the Word of God has to say. Moms and dads, it's our invitation to you on behalf of our pastor and our church and all of our next gen ministry that you have your Bible open and I have my Bible open every morning and get into God's word, because don't you agree we need God's word now more than ever? And these boys and girls have shown us, they've reminded us, they've pointed us in the way that we ought to go. Your word will be a lamp to my feet, boys and girls, and a light to our path. So church family, if it's your commitment today to say, yes, I will pray, yes, I will encourage, and yes, I will serve, will you tell these boys and girls by just saying amen? Amen. And with that encouragement, let's bow our heads and pray together. Welcome the Spirit of the Lord into this room. Jesus, that's our prayer. Father, as I just stand alongside all of these boys and girls, as they hold your word, inspired, inerrant, infallible, no error, Lord, it's fully true and fully trustworthy. Father, as we give this gift to them as a church family, Lord, you've given us the gift of salvation, of following you, of worshiping you and living for you. So Lord, that's why we worship today. That's why we come. So Lord, bless these boys and girls as they follow you. Bless their families. Bless our church. And would you be lifted up, Jesus, as we praise and honor and glorify you. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus we pray. And everybody said, amen. Let's stand and worship together. Boys and girls, you can go find your moms and dads at this time. God bless you. Let's give them a big hand.
That outlasts darkness, hope that's in the blood. There's future grace that's mine today, that Jesus Christ has won. I can face tomorrow, for tomorrow's in your hands. Just like you always have.
Let's lift it up.
I'm fighting a battle you've already won. No matter what comes my way, I will overcome. Don't know what you'll do.
thankful for the truth of that song. Welcome to worship today. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord? It's good to see you. Why don't you take a minute before we continue? Find somebody around you you haven't met yet. Introduce yourself and welcome them. We're really glad that you are here.
Why don't you take a seat? I love that song, because think about it. We've already won. No matter what battle you're in today, you've won. Isn't that something to rejoice over? I mean, we scream over touchdowns, but we've won the victory in Christ. The ultimate victory is in Him. And maybe some of you have heard that before, but maybe it's the first time you've heard it, and today you're going to have a chance to hear what that is all about. Now, I want you all to brace yourselves. I want to welcome those online, but tell you what, if you're here in Texas, we're about to have a cold front because it's going to be 95 degrees today. Now, some of you are already starting to break out your hoodies, your jackets. You're ready. Isn't that crazy? We're excited about 95 degrees today. All right. Well, let me tell you, I'm super excited that you're here, and I'm really excited our guests are here today. If you're a guest, I want to make sure you're extremely welcomed. We've got a guest central out there out front. If you get a chance today, we'd love to greet you right afterwards. As a matter of fact, I'm going to try to do some lunch in Main Street afterwards. We'd love to give you a coupon even for a free meal. So again, as I remind some of you who have been here 20 years, that's not for you. That's for our guests, okay? So come over there. We'll give you a Bible. We'll get you lunch. We want you to be involved and engaged. This is an exciting time this summer. We've had some amazing things happening here at Prestonwood, have we not? It's been unbelievable to see the lives that have been changed through whether it is a choir trip in the UK. We heard some of our youth before over the last couple weeks, or whether it was our vacation Bible schools or kids camp, or maybe it was just you at the pool with some spending some time in the Word. God has done some incredible things. I've already seen it already as the superintendent for our schools here at Prestonwood Christian Academy. It's a little weird for me. We've been in school for almost 4 weeks already. I need a nap already. We haven't hit Labor Day. How many of you remember going to school after Labor Day? Yeah, all right, we're all old. Everybody would just raise their hand. Welcome to my club. That's right. Well, I'm excited because I've already seen several lives that have been changed and impacted for the life of Christ. We've seen baptisms. Can I also just encourage you something today? I was in the first service. I've been taking notes from Pastor Jack Graham every time he preaches. I have different notebooks just like this. And, you know, I've been taking notes for about 25 years from Pastor Graham. And today, my pen was on fire. If you have a chance to take notes today, this message is phenomenal. He does a great job. But today, as we start going back into the distinctives of the disciples and what disciplines we should have, today is a powerful day because you're going to really be able to ground your foundations, the cornerstones of our faith, if it's for the 100th time you've heard it, or maybe the first time you're going to hear about what's really the next step after Christ, after we accept Christ into our heart. Can I encourage you today to do this with me as I just lift this time in prayer? I remember seeing this when I was over in Israel, and I saw them put their hands out in front just like this. And when they do that, it was just as if they were receiving and they were trying to make that connection with Christ. And so I want us, before we continue in worship, will you just put your hands out in front of you just to receive this morning whatever the Lord has for us today. It may be a little uncomfortable, but I just think it's such a powerful, powerful thing. And I want to take us before the throne and let's pray together. Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for this time to gather together, whether here in person or online. You have made our steps purposeful for such a time as this, to be here in your presence. Lord, no matter what battle we're fighting, whether it's loneliness or anxiety or worry or unrest, let us lay it at the foot of the cross today. Knowing that you cover it all. Our completeness is found in you and you alone. Thank you for sending your son to save us, to save me. You are holy, holy, holy. we come before you today and praise your name. And everyone said, amen.
Your name stands above them all, and the angels cry.
was broken.
We do.
Do you feel the shadows deepen?
We do.
Do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through?
We do.
Do you wish that you could see it all made new? Is all creation groaning?
Yes.
Is a new creation coming?
Yes.
Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst?
Yes.
Is it good that we remind ourselves of this?
He is worthy.
is worthy of all of our praise, all that we are. Jesus is Lord. I flash back a little bit as we were worshiping with that song a moment ago. Back during the pandemic in the fall of 2020, we were bringing everyone back together, and it was slow moving, of course. But we got our choir back in the house for the first time in October, and the choir came from every direction in this room and just filled the room. We had a special guest that October, and it was Mike Pompeo, then Secretary of State, and we were sitting on the front row as that song was being sung and Jesus is being proclaimed worthy. And here I'm standing by one of the most powerful men in the world, the Secretary of State of the United States of America. And I look at Mike and big tears were just flowing down his face as he was worshiping with us. So to kings and priests and presidents and secretaries of state, to the whole world, Jesus Christ is worthy of all of our praise. Amen. He is. He is. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 6 verse 9. How many Bibles do we have in the house today? Can I see your Bibles? Hold up your Bibles. I love seeing your Bibles. Bring your Bible with you when you come to church. If by chance you don't have a Bible yet, number one, you can go to Guest Central as soon as this service is dismissed and we will give you a Bible. We'd love for you to take one of those Bibles as our gift to you. Or if you'd like to buy a Bible, we have incredible selections at our bookstore just down the hall, and a Bible that maybe you would cherish or give to someone else. But if you don't have a Bible right now, there's one in the pew rack provided in front of you, right in front of you. And I'm even going to give you the page number of Hebrews 6:4. 1004. So go to page 1004 and you're going to find our primary text for today, as this is the second message in a series of messages we're calling Distinctives for Disciples. Distinctives for Disciples. And we're going to be talking about what it means to follow Jesus. And step by step, we'll be talking about spirit-filled living. We're going to be talking about trusting the Bible. Can you trust the Bible? That's next week. So good to see our boys and girls, our first graders, get their Bibles. We had a granddaughter, Lauren Flores, who got her first grade Bible this morning. And children, I'm so grateful. I still have the Bibles that my church gave me when I was a little boy, and it's a treasure to me. So hold on to that, but get God's Word in your heart. All ages. And we're just so grateful for the focus of the Bible. We'll be talking about that. Speaking of that, our Biblical Worldview Conference, led by Prestonwood Christian Academy, Jeremiah Johnston, our pastor for apologetics, brought this with him. Several years ago, as we've been doing the Worldview Conference, Jeremiah came to speak for us, Prestonwood Christian Academy, and at that point, it was primarily for our school and surrounding schools. But we then asked Jeremiah to come on our staff as pastor of apologetics and to be dean of spiritual development at Prestonwood Christian Academy. And he brought with him this passion and this purpose to expand the Biblical Worldview Conference. And now it's for everyone. It's certainly for our students and our school and PCA, but you're invited. You say, well, it's during the day. No, we have a nighttime session, and there is an opportunity for you to sign up for Biblical Worldview. And this is all about getting prepared. We have some of the greatest speakers in the world coming to be with us for the Biblical Worldview Conference. And I really want to encourage you to come, because we're all about what is the Bible and can we trust the Bible, God's Word. So we'll be dealing with that subject. We'll be talking about faith. We'll be talking about spiritual gifts. We'll be talking about living the Christian life in power and abundance and victory. These are the subjects for disciples, those of us who are followers of the Lord Jesus or yet to be followers, who need to know what does this involve if I'm going to be a follower of Christ. So last time we talked about what is a Christian? A Christian is someone who makes a decision. You make a decision to follow Christ. Someone who not only there's a decision to make, but there is a life to live. We live out the life of Christ in us. And then not only that, but there's a price to pay. There's a cost to following Jesus. And we pick up the cross and follow Christ. Today's message is called Next Step. So now that we're stepping into faith and believing and trusting in Christ, what are the first steps that we take? So this is a message that's going to be for certainly new believers, and we have many new believers in our church and young believers in our church. What are the first steps, the beginning steps that you can take as a follower of Jesus? It's also going to help us all as we're following Jesus and telling the story of Jesus to others as to how to lead our families. What's the message to our children and our children's children and taking those first steps? So maybe you've been tracking with the Lord for a long time as I have, and this is going to be very basic, but yet it's going to be very essential for all of us to know what is so vital and what is so important in getting started well. It's important to finish well, isn't it? But it's also important to start well. And so today's message is next steps. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 9, we're going to put it on the screen for you, but I want you to look at it in your Bible as well. It says, "Beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you." Let me give you a little context. The writer of Hebrews is challenging believers to go onward and forward in their faith, not to go back, not to look back in any way, but to be all in, to grow up, and to be mature in their faith. And that's why he says, "We're confident of better things of you." Yes, and then watch this line. Things that accompany salvation. Things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. I want us to focus on that one little line, the things that accompany salvation. Now, some things just go together, like peas and carrots. Or you can help me with this. Mashed potatoes and, oh yeah. That's manna from heaven. Bats and, thank you, bats and balls, all the baseball fans. Bonnie and, okay. Adam and Deb and, yeah. Somebody said Jack and Jill. I never cared for Jill that much. I did care for Deb. So we've been going together a long time. And it's great. Sweet and chips and, soap and, okay, so you get my drift here. Some things just go together. You really, you can't have one without the other, but not much of either. Peanut butter and, oh yeah, that's a good one. So what are the things that belong? The ESV gives that sentence there, the things that belong to salvation. Or the things that accompany it, go along with salvation. Not salvation. Salvation is in Christ and Christ alone. Not anything else. There's not any add-on. It's not Jesus plus anything. Or Jesus minus anything. It's Jesus only. So salvation is in Jesus. And by grace are you saved. So we're not talking about what is a Christian, what is salvation. But what are the things that accompany it, go along with salvation? What are the steps that we take as we are beginning to follow Jesus or walking with Jesus? What are the first steps? What are the next steps that we take? We even have a class here at Prestonwood called Next Steps for new members or prospective members, because we want people to know what are the expectations. So in one sense, this sermon is, yes, about essentials, but it's also about expectations. What are the expectations? What are the essential steps that we take. Got it? All right, I'm going to say three this morning. Number one, a profession that is public. What accompanies salvation? What belongs? What goes along with salvation? A profession that is public. Here's what the Bible says in Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. And I want you to look at the screen on this one as well as your Bible, because I want to give you this in the New Living. It says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord, openly declare that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is openly declaring your faith that you are saved. Then verse 13 says, in this same 10th chapter of Romans, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So to call on the name of the Lord clearly is a confession, is calling upon him. So in Acts chapter 2, when Peter preached a great message about the gospel, the first message of the church is the church is birthed on the day of Pentecost. Religious people there from all over the world. It was an international festival that was taking place in Jerusalem. Peter, the follower of Jesus, stands in front of them all, full of the Holy Spirit, the same man who cowered away and denied Christ just weeks earlier. He's now standing in the presence of all these former enemies of Christ and some who were just curious and were searching for God, and he preaches the gospel. He tells of the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. It was a powerful sermon, the Pentecostal sermon. And then as a result, the Holy Spirit convicts so many in the crowd. And it says they were stabbed to the heart. They were pierced to the heart. When we preach the gospel, there is an element in which the Holy Spirit uses the word of God to pierce the soul, to stab the heart with conviction. There's no salvation without conviction. There's no repentance and faith without conviction of sin. So they are convicted of their sin. And then they say, what should we do? What should we do? What's the next step? And at that point, in verse 38 of Acts chapter 2, Peter says, believe and be baptized as a result or because of the remission of sins in your life. Believe and be baptized. And it says on the heels of that verse that 3,000 were baptized on that day. Now, I have a question for you. How do you suppose they identified the new believers for baptism? They must have given some kind of a public invitation. Everyone was going public with their faith in Christ, which wasn't easy in this situation. So they went public. I don't know. Did he have them come forward? Did he have them raise their hand? I don't think they were filling out cards. But maybe they just said, come forward, and all these people came forward. And as a result of coming forward, they're asking them questions, they're receiving Christ, and 3,000 of them, this was probably just the men, there may have been upwards to 5,000-6,000 people baptized that day, boys and girls, men and women. It was a huge baptismal service. But the point that I'm making is that somehow they went public with their faith. You know, we give a public invitation here at Prestonwood. There are many ways you can come to faith and make it public. But this is such a powerful way and a persuasive way for people to take a stand for Christ in the middle of the church. I know it's a big place with a lot of people, and it can be difficult for some, but it's such a beautiful experience for you to walk down this aisle and confess Christ, not being ashamed of Jesus. Why would we ever be ashamed of the one who is worthy to give his life for us? I mean, to walk down a carpeted church aisle among friends and people are going to cheer you on for your decision for Christ is public. Go public with your faith. You know, faith in Jesus Christ is immensely personal. It's personal. That's why we believe in our heart. And you can walk down an aisle and make a profession and not be saved. You believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that he died for you, that he rose again. But then you confess with your mouth. You tell someone. And you make that profession of faith. What did Jesus say in the Gospel of Matthew? In fact, he says this multiple times in the Gospels. He says, if you confess me before men, this is Matthew chapter 14, I believe. Or if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, Matthew 10, 32. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him will I confess before my Father who is in heaven. So Jesus calls us to a public commitment. Everyone I see in the New Testament following Jesus made it public. So I'm going to ask you today at the close of this service, in just a few minutes after this invitation, that you make a public stand for Christ. That's in keeping with the principle of the New Testament. Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. The prophet Elijah stands before the people and says, why you keep halting or limping between two opinions? Either God is God or Baal is God. Choose who is God in your life. Make that stand, that principle professing stand. I was so glad as a little boy, some of you are little children in this room today. I'm so glad when I was just a little boy, 6 years of age, that I went forward literally on a sawdust trail with a tent. An evangelist who came to our little town in Arkansas, and I couldn't wait to walk down that aisle. I was a little scared to do it, But I was fired up. I remember just being so excited to walk down and let my friends know that I'm becoming a Christian, that I'm becoming a follower of Jesus. And I'm grateful for parents and grandparents who led me to make this decision at such an early age. But that was my profession of faith. And I want to challenge you to go public with your faith. Maybe you've never done it in that way. But more than just walking down an aisle. Walking down an aisle doesn't save anybody. But putting your faith and trust in Christ and then to openly follow Jesus. This accompanies salvation. The second thing, a baptism that is biblical. A baptism that is biblical. In that same Acts chapter 2, when all these people came forward, then they were baptized as believers as a testimony of their faith in Christ. Now, hear me about baptism. When I say baptism, two words, baptism that is biblical, biblical baptism, because there's unbiblical baptism. You say, what is unbiblical baptism? Baptism in the New Testament, the Jesus way of baptism is by immersion only for believers only. Baptism is a testimony of one's personal faith in Jesus Christ. And Jesus, of course, set the pace. As he himself was baptized, he commenced his ministry with baptism as he was baptized by the Apostle John in the River Jordan. And it says he went down into the water and he came up out of the water. And then Jesus commanded five times in the scripture for his followers, his disciples, to go into all the world, preach the gospel, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. So right in the heart of the Great Commission that Jesus gave us is baptism. Now, baptism, like a profession of faith, doesn't save, nor does it even help to save. As the old country preacher said, you could be baptized so many times you know the first name of every fish in the pond and not go to heaven. So no, being baptized in water or otherwise does not sprinkled. Some of you were sprinkled as an infant and good for your parents, their testimony to dedicate you. And many of you perhaps grew up in a church where infants were baptized. The New Testament never teaches infant baptism. Never. We dedicate our children to the Lord. We give them to the Lord. But every child, like I was a child, needs at some point in their life to respond to the gospel, to say a personal yes to Jesus Christ. It happened in the first service. Just a quick testimony. We have a wonderful family in our church that three of the children had made professions of faith in Christ, but the fourth one had not yet made that decision. And they were concerned about it, but not pushing the child. Don't ever pressure or push a child, but just being a positive influence and encouraging the child. Don't hold a child back. But when we gave the invitation for people to be baptized, that child came forward and was baptized in the fountain between the services. And I got a text from the dad. And I'm not giving the names right now because I don't necessarily have the permission to do it, though I'm sure they wouldn't mind. But the dad texted me and said, that's all four of our children now who have been baptized in this church. He said, Pastor, I love you and I love this church. All four kids following Jesus in believers' baptism. That's a beautiful witness for that family and for that child. And this is why we give people the opportunity to be baptized. Now, baptism is a symbol of salvation. It is a seal of our commitment. It is an act of obedience. When you step into the water, it is the drama of redemption. It is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. Do you see that? So a person stands in the baptistry and identifies with Christ and what Christ has done on the cross, is buried and raised to walk in newness of life. This is what Paul said in Romans chapter 6 and verse 3. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. So spiritual baptism takes place. Are you listening? Spiritual baptism takes place when you receive Christ. The Spirit of God immerses you into your personal relationship with Christ. And then baptism in water then is the symbol of the death, what you believe, and to whom you belong. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. Can I say that again? What you believe, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ, and to whom you belong. It's a picture of commitment and cleansing. I'm committing to Christ. Water cleanses. Human water, this water, physical water doesn't cleanse. The blood of Christ cleanses us from every sin. And so we are washed clean by the blood of Christ. And this is the picture of this cleansing that comes from this. I believe I see Cherry Summerall earlier. Pat Summerall gave the testimony when he was baptized as an adult a number of years ago. He said, when I came out, I just felt so clean. It's just a cleansing emotional experience when you declare your faith and your consecration and your commitment to God. You go in, you say, well, I'm not good enough to be baptized. You're not baptized because you are good. You're baptized because God is good, because Jesus is Lord, and you're putting your faith and your trust in Him and Him only as your Savior. So this is baptism. Hey, baptism, the very word baptism is from a Greek word. Here's your Greek lesson for the day. Baptizo. Baptizo. It's actually transliterated, I won't tell you why at this message, but transliterated into the English language, which means when we take one word in an older language and just make a new word in another language like English. So baptizo in Greek became baptism. And the word was a common word used in the era of Christ in the first century. It was a word, someone washing clothes, for example, would take clothes and dip them in the water and wash them in the water. That was a baptism. It's describing, a blacksmith who takes a hot iron off the coals and submerges it into the water like that. And that was a baptism. It was a plunging it into the water. And that's the word baptizo. And so the same word is used to describe this beautiful portrait, this picture of redemption, death, burial, and resurrection, because it means to immerse. The very word baptizo or baptism means to immerse. Not sprinkle a little water on somebody's head. Not this, but all the way in, all the way under, all the way out. You know, if it typifies death, burial, and resurrection, when you bury someone, you don't sprinkle a little dirt on their head. You put them under. And this symbol of death, or you put them in the tomb. And so this is the picture. And it's a beautiful symbol of your commitment to Christ. I wear on my hand a wedding ring. And the wedding ring has a cross and, of course, is my band that signifies my marriage to Deb. And I've been wearing it. It's amazing how good it still looks after all these years, 50-plus years. And I wear this and have been wearing this all these years as a symbol of my commitment to Christ, the cross, and a commitment to Deb, my wife. And it's a beautiful symbol. Now, I could take it off right now and squeeze it off. I have lost a little weight. I can get my ring off. And am I still married? Of course I am. I mean, this is the symbol of the marriage and symbol of the commitment. I mean, it's very simple, isn't it? And I wear it as a testimony, a reminder. You know, there are benchmark experiences in life. Your birth, that's a benchmark moment. Your graduation, that's a benchmark moment. Your marriage, you stood at an altar, made a commitment, that's a benchmark moment. And baptism, I believe one of the reasons God established it for His church is that it would be a marker, a memorable marker, a benchmark in our lives of the moment the miracle took place in our lives, or the fact that the miracle has taken place in our life. I remember my baptism very well. After my profession of faith as a child, my pastor actually had a rule. I don't necessarily agree with his rule, but I abided by the rule that you had to wait till you were 8 years old to be baptized. I don't know why he picked 8, but that's the number he picked. So I waited. And in one sense, it was a good thing in that it helped me and all the others to separate salvation from baptism. But I couldn't wait to get in the water. And I remember it. I even remember some of the conversation that took place in the room when I was baptized and my dad being there and helping me get dressed and all the rest. So, you know, just the very act, I mean, it's a It's a big deal. I mean, to go into water and have somebody take you and take you under, it's a humbling thing. It's a surrendering of your life. But to go in there and experience this and to come out and sense the cleansing power of God in your life is such a beautiful, wonderful experience. And I want you and everyone to experience salvation in Christ and the beautiful testimony of baptism in your life. In just a moment, I'm going to give many of you the opportunity to do it today. I know you didn't plan on it, you weren't prepared for it, but you're hearing a call, and we're going to go after this service to the fountain as we did after the first service. We baptized 50, 60 people after the first service. We're going to do it again after this service. So I'm going to invite you spontaneously, because the Spirit of God is leading you to do it. There was a Ethiopian who was traveling in the desert, and he met up with Philip, a deacon in the church. Philip led him to personal faith in Christ, and the Ethiopian just saved said, "Well, what hinders me to be baptized? Here's some water." There must have been some water where they were in the desert, an oasis of some kind. Said, "Here's water. What's keeping me? What hinders me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "Nothing if you believe with all your heart." There it is again. Believe and be baptized. You never get the order reversed in the Bible. It's not be baptized and then believe. Baptize or sprinkle a child and hope they believe. No, it's baptize. Believe and be baptized. This accompanies salvation. It goes along. It belongs to salvation. I'll tell you this. I never... In the New Testament church, there was no such thing as an unbaptized believer. In the New Testament church, you say, what about the thief of the cross? And that wasn't the church. That was the cross. But in the church, there's no record of any unbaptized. Every believer was baptized as a profession of their faith in Jesus Christ. In fact, this is how you made a profession of faith. So you say, well, I'm ready. Well, we got ready for you. You said, I didn't bring clothes. I didn't bring, well, we got you covered. We got a private dressing area out there this morning. And we have shorts that you can wear and a t-shirt. And it'll be private. It won't be embarrassing in that sense. You can do it. You can do it this very day. You say, well, you know, I didn't come planning on being baptized today. Well, God had a plan for you to be baptized today. You didn't expect it, but isn't it great when God does the unexpected things in your life? Just like the little boy that I was telling you about in the first service. He wasn't planning on it, but his parents had prepared him for the moment. And when the moment came, he took it. And I'm going to ask you to take it today. Maybe you're thinking, as I mentioned in the sermon earlier, I'm just not good enough. I don't think I'm ready. I don't know if I can do this. We're not baptized based on our merit, but on the merit of Christ. And we symbolize in baptism not what we're doing, but what he's done for us. So yes, it's time. Maybe you're thinking, well, my friends and family aren't here. There's such a thing as a cell phone and a camera and video that we're going to take with you, and we'll send it to your family and friends. And I don't discount, you know, a desire to have family with you, but maybe you do even today. Maybe your family's with you and you can go with your family. But go. Say, well, I'm not a member of Prestonwood. Can I participate in this? I don't go to this church. We're not talking about a member of Prestonwood today. We're talking about you. And yes, you're invited. You may live in another place and you can't be a member here. Or you're thinking about membership later. But we're not talking about membership. We're talking about your public profession of faith and biblical baptism to do it God's way. For some of you, that means getting your baptism on the right side of your salvation. Here's what I mean by that. Getting baptism on the right side, the correct side of your salvation. Because some were either sprinkled or maybe you were even dunked or immersed as a child, but you came to Christ later. And you maybe for whatever reason, it wasn't explained to you well, or you didn't get good follow-up, but as a child, you were, quote, baptized, but you became a believer later on. Maybe as a college student, maybe as an adult, maybe a crisis came to your life and you came face-to-face with your need for Christ, and you have since your childhood or even since your baptism as an adult, become a believer in Jesus. So you want to get your baptism on the right side of your salvation. And remember the biblical order? Believe and be baptized. Nothing if you believe with all your heart. What keeps me from being baptized? Believe in your heart. And so you want to get your baptism on the right side of your salvation. Maybe you're thinking it's not convenient. It's not convenient. Do you think it was convenient for Jesus to come to earth to die on the cross for your sins? To pay the price? I mean, really, it's not a matter of convenience. This is talking about commitment and conviction. Maybe you think, well, I don't know enough. I don't know enough about being a Christian. I don't know the Bible enough. You can be baptized the moment you receive Christ. You don't have to go to a class to be baptized. You don't have to have 10 weeks of instruction to be baptized. You can be baptized today, and that's what I'm challenging you to do if you want to be baptized God's way. And then maybe someone would say, well, I'm embarrassed. I have one word answer for that. Really? Really? The one who is worthy has made it possible for you to do this. What a privilege. We shouldn't need anybody to pressure us or push us to do this. But enthusiastically, joyfully express our faith and testimony in Jesus Christ. And then the third mark, and I'm just going to say it, and we're going to close the service. The things that accompany salvation, a profession that's public. Have you gone public with your faith? Do people know? If I ask your children, your grandchildren, do they know you're a Christian? Are you confessing your faith in Jesus? Are you witnessing in your community? Have you made that public profession of faith in Christ? Have you been baptized the Jesus way, the biblical way? A baptism that is biblical. This accompanies salvation. It goes along like peas and carrots, like mashed potatoes and gravy. They go together. And then thirdly, a fellowship that is faithful. I'm talking about the church. And we'll take time in these other messages to talk about the importance and the significance of being a vital member, meaningful member of the church, responsible, a member of the church. Everyone who came to Christ in the New Testament, identified with Christ and a local church, and were faithful. And in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, after those people were saved and they took those steps of salvation, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, that's teaching God's word, in fellowship, that's what we're doing when we're together in Christ, in the breaking of bread, that's most likely Lord's Supper, and in prayer. So we're praying together, we're staying together, we're the church. And God has given us his church in order to protect us in a world system that is going downhill, that we may worship Christ. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, Hebrews chapter 10, as the manner of some is, but so all the more gather as you see the day approaching, as the coming of Christ is getting closer and closer and closer. You need the church and we need you. Just had another vivid and even tragic reminder of this reality. This week we have one of our finest couples in our church whose daughter Amy and son-in-law Luke were killed in a tragic automobile accident. This is Jeff and Karen Brownlee, been in our church for years, wonderful, faithful members. Can you imagine? Probably can't. Getting that call that your only daughter and her husband, Amy served here as an intern a number of years ago, killed in a car wreck, gone. And yet, as we've reached out to them, the Brownlees have felt the love of the church, and they've shared that love with others. And when the tragedy comes, they're not alone. There's somebody there to hold you. There's somebody there to pray for you. There's somebody there to care for you. There's the church. And so it's more than a membership. It's more than having your name on a roll somewhere. It's being a part of a spiritual family. We're not perfect by any means. No church is. But we're progressing. And God is so real in the hearts of his people in this fellowship. And I thank you for the faithfulness that you have in loving and serving. And we're not just looking for joiners. You can join a club. This isn't a club. We believe together, and therefore we belong together. We belong together, therefore we become more and more like Christ together, and we battle for the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus. This is the church. I'm not talking about churchianity. A lot of people go to church and don't know Christ, or used to go to church and don't know Christ. But when you know Christ, you'll want to be a part of His wonderful family. As the old song says, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. It goes with salvation. It's not salvation. You can join every church in North Texas and not be saved. But when you are saved, when you know the Lord, you'll want to be a part of the brothers and sisters in Christ and the faith that we share together. So would you stand with me, please, quietly and reverently, everyone standing? And look right this way. So here's how we're going to give the invitation today. It's going to be a little bit different. As you know, we invite people to come forward. Upstairs in the balcony, there's a minister there on the landing, multiple ministers, and then our pastors are here as well. So I'm going to invite you to come forward. And online, you can text 74788 and text the word Jesus, and we're there for you. This is your invitation to connect and to make a public profession of your faith. So I'm going to ask, first of all, here's the call. If you want to make a public profession of faith in Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask you to come forward and tell one of these ministers. You don't have to make a speech. We're not going to ask you a bunch of questions you can't answer. We're just going to celebrate with you. I want you to come forward and you say what I say. Just say, I want to give my life to Jesus. I'm professing my faith. I'm following Jesus. And we'll take it from there. We'll talk to you. If you have questions, we'll answer your questions from God's Word. We'll take a few moments with you, or we'll stay with you as long as you want to stay to talk this through. But you can walk out of here knowing that Christ is in your life. There are others you want to come forward as a new member of this church. I talked about a fellowship that is faithful. If you are a baptized believer in Christ, you've been baptized God's way, the Jesus way, the New Testament way, and you want to join maybe from another church. It may be a Baptist church. It may be a church of like faith, what we call a church of like faith and practice, a church similar to our doctrinal faith. I'm going to ask that you come forward and join the church today. Make that decision. Be faithful to the church. Be faithful. You can join a community group online, as a matter of fact. You may live in Spain, as many of you who watch us do, but you can establish with a community group. So we're going to put you in groups, and you can grow in your faith, and you could be a part of the church. So I'm going to ask that for you to come and to come forward or upstairs to go to the minister there in the balcony. But here's the different thing. If you want to be baptized this morning, you say, okay, I'm ready. I have no excuses. I said, I'm going. I want you to turn around and go out those doors in the back, and there's going to be people meeting you, and we're going to take you to the baptistry. Now, for some of you people that like to leave during the invitation, I can't be responsible if somebody takes you to the baptistry while you're trying to get to Luby's. I'm just telling you. If you want to be baptized, turn around as we're singing in just a moment and go out those doors, and we'll be ready for you, and we'll baptize you in our beautiful brand new fountain. Model fountain in just a few moments, and your friends can join you, and it'll be a great, great day. You'll be all in. Clear? Let's pray it in. Lord, we do pray this, that you would help men, women, boys, and girls to do today what they'll be so glad they've done when we stand before you in eternity. For people to profess faith in Christ, boys and girls, men and women. For believers to come and unite their hearts with this church and going to our neighbors and to the nations with the gospel. And to those who will now give this testimony of believers baptism today, just spontaneously, beautifully, gloriously making that decision. We ask that you would help them to do it. May we never be ashamed of you, Lord Jesus. May we never be afraid, because we know that you will enable us to do what you've called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for worship at Prestonwood. As you heard earlier, if you made a decision for Christ, please text Jesus to 74788. We would love to connect with you and give you these great resources to help you grow in your faith. One is a New Believer's Bible with helpful notes to help you study God's Word. The other is a book by Pastor Jack Graham on the next steps to take as you pursue this new life in Christ. As we close, I'd like to thank you for your faithful giving to support Prestonwood and the work God is doing through our ministries. If you would like to give, text word GIVE to 74788 or visit prestonwood.org/give. It's been a joy worshiping with you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.